Here's the chart of the election. Chiron return is marked. Where Mars is going retrograde, the whole area Mars will be going back and forth is marked at the top. Chiron is 4 minutes to exact return on the election. This is when the earliest polls open on the East Coast. Next. It's election day. And the lovely green line from Uranus in the seventh house there to Pluto is the power of the people. And then we see the square to the moon down there in the fourth house from Uranus. It's the sudden shocking changes that people are experiencing, such as a car coming through the roof of your house to your insurance company not paying for the hail damage and all sorts of things. And we see Jupiter is so close to Mars, USA natal Mars, in the eighth house of regeneration. We need that Mars. When Neptune has been squaring our Mars, then our military began to be severely undermined with COVID shots and all kinds of undermine going on with the nation's ability to even defend itself. And as we know, that first Mars-Pluto opposition is quite good, quite constructive. It falls in third and ninth houses. And so then the information wars are a major subject through the end of the year and through first quarter, the whole time. Natal USA Pluto opposed natal USA Mercury. Mercury is the news, the information. Square to Chiron, the hurtful stuff. Dialing up the escalation that we're hearing now in the voices of reporters on mainstream news. That's Chiron. That's Chiron, a square Mars being really activated. Next. This is back in 2020, President Donald Trump, eclipse baby that he is. He just stunned me with what he accomplished in 2020, the last election year, where he was having rallies every day. He accomplished the historic Mideast peace agreement. He got, quote, COVID. And then the election got all muddied and fogged up at the end of the year. We see that on Inauguration Day that he was quite happy at the time. I think he was glad to get out of there and get back to his life. That's what I saw when I saw him getting on the plane. And that's what I sensed, that he was happy to get out of Washington, D.C. and get back to living life. But the reason why I'm showing you this is because look at this black box. A few of us have had a black box that difficult. And if we have, we were typically not able to stand up 4 months at a time. This is extremely difficult. And he came through it, and it's just stunning what he can do in a day for his age and everything. Next. Okay, and here's his black box report in case, you know, you want to look at that. It's interesting, for sure. It's interesting. And all of the court issues that he's been dealing with, I was just amazed again when I saw him come out of court and he had just had a huge judgment against him for millions of dollars and he couldn't do any business in New York for 1 year. And he was just totally not rattled. You know, he gave a little press talk, came out of the court, and it's just, he wasn't even upset. I'm like, wow, I guess he's not that hooked into the money. Now, we see that the end of the year is quite good for him. And we know he has this court sentencing coming up right after Thanksgiving. Well, look how strong his black box is. So that's not going to be a problem. Somehow, you know, they're hoping to sentence him to years in prison or whatever. But we'll see. It's really pretty amazing that all these court cases have been falling apart as much as they have. You know, it really is. It's pretty amazing. They convicted him of one thing, and that may even be changed. But we see him gathering power as the year progresses. I was concerned about his safety through October, and we're almost out of October now. So he's coming into much more strength than he's had for several months. Next. There's his black boxes for a few years, in case you want to see that. Now, I had a little bit of concern about Inauguration Day, because Inauguration Day is a weird day. The astrology just isn't that good. You know, but we'll talk about that a little further down the road here. We see on January 20, I've marked that, because that little blip up, that's January 20, where it comes a bit up. Next. Here's Kamala Harris's black box. I just don't have much to say about that. I don't like studying her chart. I'm sorry that she's so substance-free and wisdom-free. It's just sad. It's sad. I feel sorry for her. She didn't want to step up into the limelight like this. I'm sure of it. Biden quit. That's why we see that stress, because she really didn't want to come out into the light and have the light shine on her. If we've seen what she's done in the past, she's a fraud in every way. And now all this plagiarism is coming to light. It's just pathetic. Next. There's the two of them, and for astrologers, I have listed the aspects on January 20, since I had a little bit concern about January 20. But we see that Donald Trump's challenging aspects really aren't bad. They're just more stretching into a bigger spectrum of life than he's accustomed to, even though he's lived a pretty big life. Adapting, and there's some stress with that, nervous system stress. The Saturn squared Uranus is the only aspect that I'd be concerned about for Donald Trump, since that could put him in some danger when he's in public. And then Kamala's aspects, you know, Saturn's on her Chiron. And Saturn turns direct for all of us on that full moon of November 15. So Saturn's in a very sensitive place for Kamala Harris. You know, the big question is whether the nation of people as a whole is going to buy into a lie or not. Well, Saturn turning direct at Kamala's Chiron, which opposes her Uranus, Pluto, and Venus in her natal chart from the top to the bottom, 10th house of career to 4th house of base of operations, is going to call to account, is going to be a great correction for Kamala. If we look at how she has leveraged her will in getting what she wants along the way, and I don't just believe hearsay, what has been proven, what's factual, what's on the record for the way Kamala has ascended in the public eye. What really gets me is the plagiarism of an entire court case somewhere else that she used the language for her own court case, ganked it off as somebody else's case, you know? So she's got Saturn at her Chiron opposing her Pluto. That's not likely to work now when Saturn turns direct. Chances are, and that's why I think her black box goes down so far then after November 15, because then Saturn moves into forward motion and passes over her Chiron for the third and final time coming forward. And then we will see how that shakes out. Essentially, she is playing out the dark side of Pluto, and that she has leveraged her will upon life to get what she wants. She has been manipulative and forceful. If you watch some of what she has said in the past that is on the public record, she even revels in the fact that with a stroke of a pen, she can create this and create that for all these people. She's really getting off on the power she believes she has. But the thing is, with Pluto, when we misuse our will to get power, quote, success, fame, false authority, then we are leveraging our will onto life from our ego until life out-leverages us. I hope and pray we're at that point. In my gut, feels like we are. But I can't say for 100% sure. You know, astrology is not fatalistic. And that's why you don't see me do many predictions. I will predict that there's going to be a bunch of hail this year, because that's just 2 + 2 with the science as I use it. But we're a choice, and we're creating moment by moment, day by day, we the people. So this is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out going forward. Now, I did predict the last two elections accurately. 2016 was super easy because Donald Trump's black box went way up. The astrology was way in his favor. And Hillary's black box totally tanked on election day. But times have changed. And then I was correct in 2020 when I said that Trump will win. But come December, the people won't know what the truth is. And then I had questions about whether Trump would actually take the reins of power. And by now, we have so much lawlessness. Our custom ways of having an election in this country now are so up for sabotage and mucking about that it's not easy to predict. But I will say this, the election of 2020 had Mars retrograde at the time of the election, which makes it more difficult for the actual actions of the voting and the decisions of the people to actually come forward and manifest instability that is unquestioned. This time, Mars turns retrograde after the election. In fact, the energy of election day is really so powerfully correctional for this nation that it may be a battle goes on for a while, but it is really more likely that the people's true actual decision does rule the day in the end. Now, back to these two contestants for Donald Trump. There is a hubris that really comes into play just before Mars turns retrograde for most of us. Most people fall for this because they're not accustomed to watching the planetary cycles of forward motion and retrograde. So just before Mars goes retrograde, which again is December 6th, we see people making all kinds of plans and statements of what they're going to do. Mars is doing. It's the action, the energy, the initiative to do. The sacred warrior within going forth, you know, etc. Well, that doesn't work either when Mars turns retrograde because we have to go back over. We have to reprocess. So Donald Trump, he's a little bit too high right now. And we also know that Uranus is going to square his natal Mars again, rising in his 12th house. He tends to undo himself sometimes with his actions and words, and that's fine, human being. We all have a self-undermine operating, consciously or not. But he's got some surprises coming too, and unexpected and shifts and changes to deal with that will not be what he's envisioning right now in terms of being able to take action. So he is overpromising right now also because of Jupiter's square to Saturn. That's going around. Many people are overpromising because we haven't had the correction of the Jupiter-Saturn square for, you know, a few years now. And we've been able to operate and function with our planning into the future pretty well. But we are in the Jupiter-Saturn square, which means that there is over-optimism. And people are promising more than they can deliver. And so we have to keep that in mind, too, because we probably will have a bunch of disappointed people, even if Trump does win this contest, because of promising too much. People tend to project onto federal government, and by now the president, as if the president were the king of the country, that really troubles me. And that doesn't work out well either. It's good if it unites the people, but we have our part in this, and we have our responsibility. And actually, most of the work is up to us. It's federal government's job to protect us and to look out for our interests, which has completely fallen off by now, pretty much. So it's time for three Mars-Pluto oppositions. Mars in Cancer, which is the people on the land that create the productivity and create the supply, etc., versus Pluto at the end of Capricorn, which is the old guard, which is the status quo capital, the head of federal government, turning on the people. So it's necessary that we walk through this passage and that we make the best of it together. Now, for Donald Trump, Uranus turns direct on January 30, and we know Uranus is at the top of his chart, square to his Mars. The top of the chart is the point of greatest visibility. Uranus is going to really light that up at the end of January. It's a flash of fame, of success. And like I said, there will be unexpecteds, and it's a bit dangerous for him. But we will find that Donald Trump really moves into the peak of his lifetime accomplishments after April. Between like April, July, and August. So he's coming into the ability to be quite a change agent as the year progresses. Now, back to Kamala. The top of the chart is our greatest life. And when the outer planets come up to the top of the chart, like Saturn is up there right now in her 10th house of career, standing, and is conjunct her Chiron, is going backwards over Chiron, come forward over Chiron, well, that's when people really fail miserably if they haven't lived ethically. That's where natural law will really come out in the open, where we can see it. And I've seen this with people that I've studied over the years with astrology. If they cut corners, if they cheat, if they treat their employees as if they're less than, it's all going to come due when Saturn or outer planets get to the top of the chart. They may have a dramatic failure. Next. So there's another look. I've got the USA black box on the base, and the USA doesn't look too bad at this time. We are coming up with 7 years of difficulty. Next. So here's the chart of the inauguration. This is not for noon. I think this is for a little later in the day. Usually the new president is sworn in at noon. But we see that the Grand Cross of USA is completely engaged. And that's the main thing going on. So we know Mars up in the ninth house of law and bigger picture understanding of life, philosophy, religions, foreign commerce, etc., international trade. Mars up there retrograde, so that energy is muted and going back over, reworking to consolidate its position, which will conclude on February 23, and then it will take some time to come out of Mars retrograde loop at the end of April. So Mars action is not really freely coming out and forward. We see Mars is square to Chiron in the sixth house there of health, where our natal Chiron for USA is at our Chiron return. And we have one more Chiron return coming up in February, which will be direct for Chiron, and then that will complete Chiron's return, which has been going on for a good year. At the base, we have the Sun conjunct Pluto on the outer ring. And the Sun is always at zero of Aquarius on Inauguration Day for USA, because it's always on January 20. So it's always there or within a degree. Sun conjunct Pluto makes it extra intense, extra potent in Aquarius, ruled by Uranus. Well, there is some assistance here, because Uranus in the seventh house is in sextile to Mars up in the ninth. Uranus, that blue line we see between Mars in the ninth and Uranus in the seventh. Well, that tells us that even though Mars is going backward and its energy is introverted and it really isn't able to progress in a forward-moving, free kind of a way, that there's some bigger picture spiritual support here going on for Mars, even though it's going over things. I don't know what. It's going back over something. And the Uranus sextile tells us that there's refreshing energy coming in from that revisit to the past and from that introversion of the energy. So it's innovative and refreshing and liberating to have Uranus and sextile to Mars so involved in this grand cross. And the fact that Uranus is also trine to Pluto, which we have mentioned down there in the third house toward the bottom of the chart. But we have the Moon in the 12th house, not far from USA natal Saturn. And, you know, that's a time of releasing for any entity. That's a time of releasing and letting go. And the Moon is just right in on that grand cross, completing it. I don't quite know what to think of this. Now, to do detailed studies on Trump and others involved, I would have to know where they are when their monthly charts begin. And that's pretty hard to pin down for Donald Trump, because he moves around so much. And a lot of times I just can't figure out where he was when to be able to do those charts and get that kind of detailed insight as to what's going on. So at this point, I just can't say beyond this. There is the more accountability coming into play that shows up here again. There is spiritual support because Mars up there retrograde is in trine to Neptune. And there's a fair amount of emphasis on children in the fifth house. You know, fifth house isn't only children. It's pleasure and entertainment, enjoying life, self-expression, and creativity. So it's an interesting chart. It's a little hard to decipher. And the Grand Cross concerns me a bit because a Grand Cross can be a graduation and it can be an incredible achievement of a lifetime. If we come through a Grand Cross via the heart, the center of the chart is the center of the I am for any entity. So the potential of a Grand Cross is graduation and wholeness. And I don't think as a country we're there yet. So that's what troubles me a little bit about this chart. But we will see. And I took a look at some other charts just to get a sense of some of the people close to Trump and how they're doing on January 20. So we'll look at that. Next. We see that Robert F. Kennedy is preparing to really step out and do what he has come here to do in a much bigger way. And we know that because we see Saturn is on the descendant point of relationship. That tells us he's been working for the previous 14 years, laying the foundation in his life and becoming strong and firm and clear about who he is and what he's doing. Right now, he's facing and working through a lot of stress. You know, his mother just died, but he's moving through a lot of stresses that are clearing and preparing him for coming out in the world in a whole new way. If we look at his black box, he's had a really hard year. He was sued for millions of dollars for just trying to run for president. The states were suing him, trying to keep him off the balance, you know, all this dirty business. So he's been through it, but he's stayed strong and true. His is the only chart among the insiders there with DJT that is down on Inauguration Day, but that could just be because he's tired. Next. Who's been working harder than Charlie Kirk? He's 31 years old, going to the college campuses every day, engaging and talking to the youth. He says that the young men now are the most conservative that we've seen in 20 years. Which brings to mind an important point associated with the USA Chiron return in Aries. Any entity with Chiron in Aries, such as our nation, is required to heal its collective soul and heal its masculine energy. Restore empowerment, action principle, courage, the sacred warrior, clear on healthy boundaries, deeply rooted in the truth of one's I am. And look at the confusion we have among the men in our nation now. And it's typical at the end of every empire. That's the way that goes. Men become more concerned with their sex appeal and nail polish and such. And next thing you know, that chapter's over. So this is very important. And I'm really delighted to see this coming from Charlie Kirk now. When we see him talking to the young men, to all the people, he is so gifted at getting people to think and being mutually respectful and having these wonderful conversations, going to university after university all over the country every day and engaging the youth, and they're responding and they're coming out with enthusiasm and desiring their own true, deep soul, I am, as the anchor of their beings, to know that, to be in that, and to regain and reclaim that. That's huge. That's something that our country really needs to get back again, healing the healthy masculine. And the Chiron return, though it occurs every 50 years, we know this one is especially pronounced. And that is the gift of a refreshing Chiron placement. I have his quote on the bottom here. This is his black box, you know, into next year. He says, do you really think, after they tried to put Donald Trump in prison for 700 years, trying to assassinate him, impeach him, that they're just going to hand over the keys to the White House. No, they're not. And that's what the three oppositions between Mars and Pluto are telling us about, that it's going to be a battle. However, on January 20, we see when Charlie Kirk is probably just really out of energy. He's got an amazing chart, but he's got great stresses in his chart right now. I mean, his whole chart is lit, but he's coming through it via his heart. And that's what will bring him into his greatest life and his greatest potential in this life. He's got a pretty powerful down period here, and he may need to just be out of the public eye in December through March. But on January 20, we see he's got a spark up on January 20. So I think that's a good sign. Next, Tucker Carlson is just on a roll. And I understand him pretty well because he's a Taurus like me, and we have some planets in the same areas. And what I really like about him is he's teaching people about their natural senses. He's teaching the gospel that we all have a truth sensor like his dogs have. Like his dogs can tell who's a bad person before the person is even close to the house. And he's telling people that your most precious senses, your most valuable senses, are your truth sensor, your God-given senses. I'm 100% on that with my love of Chiron. And here we see on Inauguration Day that he's up good and strong and high. Next, Full Moon of Taurus, November 15. This is when the fog of war sets in. When we get into the mutable signs, that's Pisces, Sagittarius, and Gemini. That's when the media, that's when the deceptions come forth. And that's what happened in 2020. I know people who actually saw the numbers of votes fall in the night, like at 2 or 3 in the morning. They saw the numbers across the nation suddenly sink for Donald Trump. You know, this is what we're getting into, is some more smoke and mirrors and fog and nastiness that we need to walk through November and December. And it's hard. There's delay. Information is not clear. Information is not known. And the forces of deception are working overtime. And that's what we see in this full moon, November 15. Now, this is another peak of energy because Mercury turns retrograde on the 25th of November, right around Thanksgiving time. And so we know that this election is in a peak of energy until November 25. And then everything dials down, slows down, and we have to go back over things. Well, we see that this full moon is on Uranus. And so I would expect to see some stock market lurch with this full moon, November 15. Saturn square Mercury, that's delay in events, in processing information. It's unhealthy boundaries coming in. It's a poisonous time. We need to be careful the water we drink, the air we breathe, and the food we eat, because the factor of poison is going to be amping up steadily over the next 2 years as Saturn and Neptune draw closer to each other in Pisces. Poison, addiction, toxicity, it'll be popping up everywhere. We need to really have our good senses well engaged, exercised, and sharp. So there's good energies here too, and I'm not going to surmise about this too much. It's a potent full moon. The fact it's on Uranus, we know life energy is peaking with both Mercury and Mars. But we've got some real delay and some blocks, discouragement, negativity coming into the picture. Breathe deeply, stay centered. Know that divine order is manifesting in every moment. Now, we're hearing that a lot of people are very concerned about rioting after the election, and I'm not seeing that in the energy. Mercury comes to a peak of doings by the 25th of November, but it doesn't look that volatile. So maybe the election outcome isn't that clear, so there's no reaction yet. The energy of this full moon, November 15, is not as out in the open. It's more behind the scenes, more subterfuge, sabotage, sneaky, kind of undermine, rather than out in the open, chaotic anger, rage, and rioting behavior. as of December 6th, Mars is retrograde, and that is not rioting energy. That is not energy that comes out and expresses. When Mars turns retrograde, it's a tired time when people need to catch breath and slow down and maybe dealing with obstacles in trying to just do basic things in their lives. So I'm not seeing that as a problem. Next. Here's the astrocartography chart for the full moon of November 15, full moon of Taurus. And we see clearly that the East Coast is completely marked by Pluto and Mercury and Mars. So the Mars-Pluto opposition, you see, lights up that whole area that I have lightened and boxed in with a rectangle. And we see Mars runs right through New York. Again, that may be some financial lurch. 200 miles either side of every line is the effect of the planet delineated. We have Pluto on the midheaven. We have Mars on the base point. And actually, in the inauguration chart itself, standalone chart, Mars is on the IC, or the base point, at noon when the oath of office is taken. Mars retrograde, going back, introverted. However, sextile Uranus means some unusual matters coming to light and truth coming forward. Donald Trump has said that he's going to release the CIA records about the Kennedy assassination first thing. That would make sense with the chart that we have for the inauguration. Pluto's running then also down in Cuba and Haiti. Next. Say anything about that? That's just FYI if you want to see the energies where they are on the map. Now the moon Uranus running down through Russia, Turkey, and the Middle East. At the Middle East, isn't it? Ooh. Oh boy. Yeah, that's not good with Uranus involved. That's not good for the Middle East. It's not going to be peaceful there. And we see Mars is running through, like, South China Sea. There could be some seismic activity with this full moon, since that's the ring of fire, right, where Mars is running down there from the top of the chart. Okay, next. Okay, and Mercury turns retrograde November 25 to December 15. And so that's a big slowdown with the process. Everything slows way down. Information processing. There's questions, there's confusion, there's lies and deception. Thus it is. Now we see Mars is far enough ahead in Leo. It's slowing down. Mars is going slower and slower. We can feel that already now. And it is about 5 degrees in its opposition to Pluto. I did not mark that on this chart, but that's going on. You know, 8 degrees is what we usually allow to consider an opposition. And we see Mercury in the USA chart, where Mercury's turning retrograde. I've got that marked with the red line there, where Mercury's going to go backwards. Mercury's in the second house of finances, and so financial slowdown. And Mercury is opposing USA Mars in the eighth house of regeneration. And so that it really does slow down things that people would like to be doing, to be moving forward and progressing. Really does. Mercury square Neptune, so there's lies and deception and confusion about our vision and direction as a group, you know. Mercury is trying to Chiron. Well, that's a good thing, because that brings more truth and well-timed and positioned action where it's needed in the sixth house matters of health and diet and self-care and animals, our sacred service, and the order in our lives. Next. December 1, new moon of Sagittarius, and it's more of the same. We see we've got square between Mercury and Neptune. That's confusing information. That's going to take time to work through. And we know Mars is about to turn retrograde. And then we have, you know, these mutable squares. That's the fudgy boundaries. This is trouble with travel, for sure. People who are traveling in December, there will be problems. A lot of people have me look at their individual charts when traveling in November and December. This is also the stress of the Jupiter-Saturn opening square, bringing forward, birthing into the world, into creation, into society, that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction of December 2020, and the ethics that we want to restore, the honesty and the mutual respect. Next. Okay. December 6th. Mars turns retrograde. Big downshift, because both Mars and Mercury are retrograde until December 15. So we've got a week there of super slow. And there we have the three-headed Cerberus hound of hell. There will be more dog attacks with Mars-Pluto opposition. Already have been this year. We've had quite a few more in the Twin Cities area above the average. Next. Full moon of Gemini, December 15. And Mercury's turning direct later in the day, sometime after this full moon. So that will be a shift into forward motion with some of our business. You know, we've mulled over, we've done some internalization that we've needed to do. We've been in double retrograde mode. And as of 15th of December, and this full moon, then Mercury shifts into forward motion, though Mars is just starting its retrograde period. Next. All right, there's just a map for you. Next. I'm not going to talk about it. I haven't even had a chance to think that through. New moon, 10 Capricorn, December 30. That looks a little bit better. Now, Saturn is still square Mercury and Jupiter, so the information flow is going to be really delayed and retarded. And that's going to go on for a good month and a half. And then the optimism really has a damper on it in the cold water because of Saturn squaring Jupiter. So we know that this is difficult. It's just not fun. And the inspiration is not quite as bright as it was, because of all the introversion of energies here. Next. Then we have a full moon at 24 degrees of Cancer, January 13, mid-January. So we're coming up toward Inauguration Day, and we have a full moon right on the Mars-Pluto opposition. Well, that's going to bring that opposition into the foreground of life, not only politically, but in every one of our individual lives as well. You know, wherever that Mars-Pluto opposition is playing out in your personal chart, then you are dealing with those energies, balancing, working with those energies. You're being challenged by those energies yourself in your unique ways. We will see this playing out, even though the energy is so internalized. We will see resistance and anger and volatility. Square to Chiron, that's the wounding, the hurting of innocence. And Jupiter square Saturn and Venus. Saturn conjunct Venus square Jupiter is depressing. And there's a lot of discouragement going on.
And largely for financial reasons.
Next. There's a map, and we see Chiron is running through Haiti. Next. Okay, so this is after Inauguration Day. I'm really surprised that Inauguration Day isn't brighter, because it looks like Trump and company, everybody's moving forward. Looks like things are on course as they should be. Huh. But it's a bit out of tune. And with all the delay and everything, I just don't know for sure. However, then we have this new moon at 10 degrees of Aquarius, on January 29, that's 9 days after Inauguration Day. And if we look at the USA chart, it's on the southern border. It's in trine to Saturn in the USA 12th house. And it's in trine to Jupiter retrograde in the 8th house of regeneration. And then that begins energizing the 4th house of the base, which is the people on the land. We see Mars is, retrograde, and is going to go back to 17 of Cancer before it turns direct, and that's in trine to Saturn. So Mars' work and going back over and sifting and sorting and doing what it takes is constructive for our children. It's going to benefit our children, our happiness, and our well-being as a people. And we see Mars is square Chiron, like I said. That square does not let up pretty much all the way through April. Next. Just a quick look at the lunar eclipses coming up in March. And this eclipse then is in Pisces, and we can see how the planets are all congregating. This has been happening ever since 2020, that in the first quarter of the year, we have all the planets congregating near where the resets have been taking place with the outer planets. That's why they're all in one area of the zodiac. So since this is the full moon, then the full moon is up high, away from the pack, the node of the moon there. So this is a north node eclipse. This eclipse calls us forward into better quality life if we stay centered in how we're dealing with life and how we're progressing. Since October 2nd and our solar eclipse of Libra, 10 degrees of Libra, that was for clearing out relationship garbage. What doesn't work, what doesn't suit us, what we've had enough of with the nth degree of Capricorn, negation, the bullies, the disrespect, etc., selfishness, whatever, what have you.
And so now these two eclipses of March 14 and March 29 offer us the opportunity to take steps forward into better quality life. But that does not come easy. Venus is retrograde for the month of March, turning retrograde March 1st and turning direct April 12th. So there again, we have internalization and slowdown with building our values into our lives, and that typically indicate difficulty and delay with money, resources, finances, and then also we're reworking love in our lives and what we need, what we value, and we have the opportunity to reorganize our lives for a better financial flow and for more fulfilling love. But I regret that I don't have time to talk about these eclipses. They're very powerful, and there's a lot to them. However, this eclipse of March 14 is dangerous for Donald Trump.
We see Mars is not opposing Pluto at this time because the retrograde is taking it too far out of opposition. So it's not in opposition, but it's gathering energy to come forward for that last final battle in opposition with Pluto. Mars, we see, is in trine to the Sun and Saturn. We're feeling pretty good now that we can take action and take steps and move forward. And it's going to require a lot of patience for everybody across the board through the end of the year and into the first quarter of next year. It's going to be really frustrating sometimes. It's going to require patience and deep breathing and surrender, you know, but the light will return and we'll free up again. We'll move forward again. I've got a little red arrow pointing at Chiron because that's right at USA Chiron. 21 degrees. That's where USA Chiron is. Next. And here's that total lunar eclipse. And this is the one that is dangerous for Donald Trump because Saturn is squaring his nodes and his Uranus, and Uranus at the top of his chart. Yeah. So this is a dangerous time for Donald Trump, and we need to pray for him at this total lunar eclipse, March 14, mid-March. Mars square Chiron, that's hurt, that's pain. And Mars is direct now, third and final square to Chiron, and Mars is moving slowly, so that hangs on for a couple of weeks there. Mars in the USA chart, in the center ring, we see Mars there, 22, Gemini, is square to this eclipse. Ooh. So there's some big problems that we have as a nation that are really peaking at this time. They're peaking. Our ability to regenerate ourselves is severely stressed at this point by this eclipse. Yet there is some restoration of our vision as a people. Now, we've got a lot of process to go through for 7 years here as a country, which includes a very serious identity crisis. That's not going to be solved in the next several years. That is going to carry on. It is going to become stronger, but we will get through. We have 7 years of trial. Next. There's the astrocartography. Looks like Chiron's pretty much in the same spot as it was at the last map we looked at, running through Cuba and activating Haiti. And the East Coast, Chiron's on the base point this time. That affects things at the ground level. I won't say more about this because I haven't had a chance to really process it intellectually at all. Next. There's the shadow. Hoo-hoo-hoo. Next. Partial solar eclipse, March 29. This eclipse is at 9 degrees of Aries, and look at the concentration of planets there on the left side of the chart. And that's why I included this, not to talk about it. It would just take too much energy and time, because this is major. Look at the condensed energy. Saturn, North Node, Venus, Neptune, Mercury, Sun, Moon, Chiron, all around the rising there on the left side of the chart. I've drawn the red line to show you that everything on the right side is just asteroids. It's not planets. All the planets are contained on the left side of that red line. And Mars is not opposite Pluto because it's gearing up for the third and final. Next. There's the astrocartography. Next. In the worldwide astrocartography, we would want to look at Mars going through the Ring of Fire. And look at the concentration on the midheaven over West Africa. And that's also UK and some France. That's out of Spain. Wow. Next. All right, here we have the full moon of 23 degrees of Libra on Chiron. And square to Mars. Whoa. This is getting in touch with everything that has been triggered, engaged, and we've been working on since October, really, since the full moon that we just had that started this process. And we see this moon also has a finger of God. It's got a T-square, not a grand cross, and it's got some nice support. And I regret that I don't have time to talk about it and do it justice. However, Venus turns direct on this full moon, which is a shift into forward motion. And we begin to get back on track with resources, with finances, happiness in our lives, reordering our lives, and so that it works better for our fulfillment and for the supply and providence that we need. It's a fairly balanced chart, but then again, the finger of God, that requires some closer analysis than what I have had time to do. And pretty intensive activation of a soul pain for the world. We will note that people's personal pain will be coming up a lot with Mars square Chiron. For some people, more than they've ever known before, because it brings up that soul hurt. We find that if we heal our souls, then our experience of pain changes. Eventually, things don't hurt anymore. Even as we get older, even as we have the usual challenges of aging, the pain just isn't a factor. And it's not from any escape. It's just from healing the soul. We were not really designed and intended to live in pain. We can integrate and heal our souls and become free of it during our lifetimes. Next. A reminder, Saturn-Neptune conjunction 2026 at 0 degrees of Aries, helping us to get our sacred warrior back. Next. Saturn-Chiron conjunction. As we know, that's very rare. That's what brings into visibility the war of humanity against nature. Saturn-Chiron cycle begins June 8th, 2028. And that conjunction. Next. In studying our darkest chapters on this planet, like the Inquisition, the Holocaust, famines, wars, great wars and famines, in our darkest hours on this planet, we always find Saturn, Pluto, and Chiron, those three, either conjunct or in hard angles with each other. And this one coming up in 2028 is very difficult. It's quite severe. This is where we see the peak of the hatred, rage, and blame. We've seen a rise in antisemitism, undeniably, in the last couple of years, several years, and that will peak with this conjunction because it's square to Pluto. Why does antisemitism always come up? I don't know. I have Jewish friends, and I hear that the ionization of the winds in Israel is different than what we live with. I don't live there. I don't point fingers. I've studied it for a long time. And I don't like it when Americans think they know what other people should be doing thousands of miles away. And I don't like that the military-industrial complex is just making itself karmically heavier every day with the wars on the planet. But we need to keep in mind that come 2028, the hatred, rage, and blame of the false victims on the planet pointing the finger at somebody else for their pain or for their poverty or whatever, rather than taking responsibility for their whole life to possibly be the master of their life, that's when it's at its worst. Next. And so that's why I've been saying 2026 through 2028. I think it's through the first quarter of 2029. That's some of our most difficult passage. And this is April 24, 2028. That's just one day. It's just one day, and it's not like necessarily a time when this is at its height. I haven't had a chance to study it that much. But that's when Pluto gets to the base of the U.S. chart. So that's the bottom of the barrel for Pluto in plumbing the depths of the soul of our country. The southern border issues are going to continue till Pluto gets down to the bottom of the barrel. And then we can start to come up if we have done our work well at that point. So we've got a few years ahead of us here that aren't going to be easy. Next. Okay, this is something, you know, if you're interested in studying this, I've put together data. I guess mostly astrologers would be interested in this. USA Uranus return is marked by those little burst marks, and that's really empowering for the people. Let me see, that's in 2027, 2028. But we've got some pretty serious downturns throughout this time, up to
2033.
So I've got all those aspects listed if anybody's interested to know that. Next. And then after 2033, look how even keel. If we are still the United States of America, if we make it through this, we might be one of the first to graduate our Pluto return. This is what we would like to see after 2033. So we have a ways to go next. This is my iris last October on Halloween. Oh, I love this. And I think it had to do with the EE system here also, because it affects everything in the natural world in a joyful way. I have flowers that bloomed twice this year. I've never seen that before. And some of us have seen lilac bushes here and there blooming twice this year and such. To me, you know, this is a message of inspiration and hope and blessing. Next. This is what it's all about. And this is Chiron's purpose in working with us. If we take responsibility to heal our souls, is we regain our whole being circuitry. That's what it's all about. So that we can receive via the heart of creation, via all the avenues around us that it can get to us, all the love, support, providence, blessings, grace, that's ours. And life will cross its own boundaries. I speak from experience. Life will cross its own boundaries to give us what we need when we need it. I'll never forget a time, I want to try to shorten this here, when I was in a very toxic air situation, and for a moment I just felt the desperation. I couldn't breathe. It's just toxic air, and I just couldn't get a good breath. And suddenly, my face just filled with the scent of lilies. Oh, and I breathed it in all the way to the depths of my soul, and it was like heaven. And I was walking on a city street. It was like heaven had filled every cell of my being. I breathed it so deep and so full, all the way to my toes. And when I came home that day, the vase of white lilies on my table that were fresh in the morning had so given up their life for me that they were wide open, farther than I've ever seen a lily open. The petals were bone dry. The fragrance was completely sent out through the ethers to get to me when I needed it. I'll never forget it. And that's the truth for every one of us. When we need something, we are so loved that life will use every avenue to support us, to nurture our life, to love us, to bless us, and provide what we need. So that's what this is all about. It's money is not the source of our supply. Our job, our work is not the source of our supply. Our cars, our convenience, our grocery stores. Great Spirit is the source of our supply. The heart of creation loves us. And that's what we're moving into, is rebuilding, taking responsibility for the state of our souls, doing our inner work as we're guided step by step, rebuilding whole being circuitry so that we can thrive in all times and conditions in real freedom. Next. Reality is love-based and perfectly designed to empower the heart-centered individual into their greatest potential. It's the truth. Perfectly designed. Next. As above, so below. So, dear ones, dear friends, acquaintances, and clients, be blessed. Peace be with you. Be encouraged. Don't become discouraged when we go through some trials here as we turn the year into 2025. Just keep clear and bright and breathe deeply. Claim your life, inhabit your body. Take good care of yourself, you know, so that we can all give our best and be the best servants to the whole, so that people may awaken. You know, it's hard not to be a little angry at our neighbors sometimes and such. They can awaken at any time and come back to truth and reality and love and peace and blessings and life, whole life. So I wish you whole life, all the blessings and grace that are yours. Om. Amen.